And this is Babelito, and we are Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like ¿Aquel es el templo de Quetzalcóatl? El extraño dios blanco de orígenes misteriosos. Que show. Ay, ya sé. Ya sé que les prometí que íbamos a hacer guaraguara la cuchara, que íbamos catching up, but guess what, Mimi? I am leaving to Las Vegas next week, so a one-to-one with Fabi, new episodes are coming up, so we appreciate the patience. In the meantime, I am here to bring you yet another awesome interview. But before we go into the interview, girl, I have so much to catch up, so many things to tell you. El sol ha salido en Chicago, y el Babelito es feliz de nuevo. Dude, like, for all of you Latinx people that live in the East Coast, I hear you, I see you, now I understand you. It's been rough. The winter's been rough, but now it's so crazy. So this weekend, there was a big festival here in Pilsen. It's called Mole de Mayo. And it's basically local restaurants bringing out their take on mole. And it's amazing, but it was so crowded. It was so, so crazy. They had amazing music, though, so it was worth going. And it was just by donation, so you can just give a couple of dollars. And it was great. It was great. It was great to see the neighborhood so alive. Now I understand why people are obsessed with Pilsen. And it was amazing. So I've been doing a lot of cooking as well, as you guys know. My two new recipes, I mean, I don't have the recipe because me la robé de otro lado. Una es de tinga, la tinga de pollo. And the other one, which I wanted to tell you guys about, was my recipe for pozole verde de pollo. It's so interesting because for years I was afraid of making pozole. Pozole seems to be this sacred dish. Like, si no me la hace mi jefa, mi abuela, ni lo toques. O la tía. Yeah, porque la tía le sale riquísimo. But the thing is that once you do it once, then you realize how easy it is. And that can become part of your routine. So me aventé a los perros y me puse a hacer pozole rojo primero. Y mira, lo pruebas y caes en un abismo de pasión. Nomás que recocí la carne. So when you were eating it, it would just fall apart, which is nice, but it's nice to have a bite. And I had some guests over the house, so I was like, fuck it, I'm going to make some pozole de pollo. And I want to know your recipe for pozole de pollo, because yo le puse todo lo verde que encontré en el refrigerador. I put cilantro, chiles, ¿cómo se llaman? Poblanos, jalapeño, tomatillo, guara guara la cuchara. Pero, güey, me quedó fucking good. It was so, so good. So, I know I should have been doing making this in the winter, pero le tenía miedo. Lo que es el menudo, like the stews, they seem such integral part of our communities, of who we are, and the idea of you going to your mom's house or your aunt's house or your grandma's house and eating pozole, it seems so sacred that I didn't want to touch it. But I'm so far away from my family that I said, fuck it, vamos a hacerlo, y me quedó riquísimo. So for all of you people that are outside of your house, that are at school somewhere else, and you're craving that rice, you're craving that pozole, just go for it, man. Like, it really is not that complicated. A lo mejor te va a salir bien cagado al principio, pero like, the more you do it, you're gonna become that, and like, te van a pasar la antorcha. That's something very true that I was telling my brother-in-law when he came to Chicago. Shout out to my sister. And shout out to Jorge. I said, I am very aware of las costumbres que tenemos en la familia. So watching, for example, my dad allowing my brother-in-law to make la not la carne asada, pero la discada, which is very, very It's like my dad. Like that's my dad. So he wouldn't allow anybody else to touch su discada except for Jorge. So it's almost a way for my dad to say, I fully trust you. You're part of the family. Bienvenidix. And I feel like pozole is something very similar that you could take on. So I'm already excited of the day that I can go back home and I can make pozole for my mom. And actually, I'm the person that is in charge of that. So again, don't be afraid. And if you want a recipe, just send me an email or a message. I try to answer all of your messages on Instagram, even though I'm trying to stay away from it. But at least I tried and I love to have conversations with everybody. But as I mentioned before, it's springtime in Chicago. All of a sudden, Chicagatlán está bien guapa. She's all full of flowers and it's green, it's humid. Like, what the fuck? I am loving it. And there's a lot of, for me and for a lot of scholars out there, a lot of academics, the summers are actually much more complicated than the work during the semester, because this is the actual time where you get to do your own work. So I'm doing a lot of research. And lately I've been working on with a community center, an arts community center in the South Side. They're called Sky Art. If you don't know who they are, if you are from the Midwest, if you are in Chicago, please Google it. They're an amazing, amazing community center. They are dedicated to offer free workshops to the entire community. And they call me because, shout out to Devon. Devon is a person that I met in Arquitopia in the artist residency that I am part of the board of directors of in Puebla. And he moved here, started working for them. And he said, hey, would you be able to give some classes on Mexican art and Mexican history to a group of girls that won a scholarship to go to Puebla? So I've been doing that, and I had my last session with them this Saturday. It was amazing. I brought them conchas, and I was like, ay, ahí va el estereotípico. Like, I'm bringing conchas and agua de horchata. But they fucking loved it. We talked about La Virgen de Guadalupe. I broke it down. We talked about the importance of being an indigenous artist in the 16th century, the importance of the Virgen de Guadalupe, and the myths behind the Virgen de Guadalupe. And they were so thankful. And I was very thankful to be able to offer these classes right before they go to Mexico City. Let me tell you, girl, those girls are ready and woke as fuck, and they're gonna take over the world one day. So again, shout out to Sky Art. I'll put a link in the website. If you don't know who they are, again, Google it. Donate money. They're an incredible, incredible organization. And yes, so I've been doing that. And also my husband and I started to watch a lot of Westerns. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what? Westerns? Que pinche racista. But it's super interesting. I've been thinking about extending a lot of my research into cinema, more specifically with El Cinema de la Época de Oro, like the golden age of Mexican cinema, and also Westerns. Why Westerns? Because the anxieties against Native Americans are super, super interesting. And I believe that those anxieties were created in the colonial period. So I'm gonna really like develop this idea, hopefully for my book one day. But I watched three movies so far: Rancho Notorious from 1952, Johnny Guitar from 1954, and Last Sunset from 1961. Shout out to Mike, a friend of ours that we met here in Chicago. He's putting together this series of he calls them Freudian Westerns, which are Westerns that are, in a way, they're based on these ideas of manipulating la mente, you know, the mind of man. And it takes a different take on masculinity. And super, super interesting. But what interests me about these past movies that I just mentioned is the way the Mexicans are portrayed. In the narrative of Westerns, which is the narrative of westward expansion, which is the narrative of manifest destiny, you always have the white man that it's moving towards the West, always moving towards the West. So there's an emphasis on all these amazing Southwestern landscapes. And then you have los Mexicanos that serve for nothing but just service. They serve los güeros. So these portrayals that we still see today in cinema, they're nothing new. They've been around for, 100 years. Blacks get completely erased and Native Americans become the monster. And this is, again, these are tropes that have been present in art for over 200-300 years. So it is interesting to see how recyclable these tropes are to the point that you still see them in Hollywood today. So even though some of these movies are super hard to watch because you see all these fucking horrible racist things, when you start looking at them as a group, they're super, super interesting. So again, Rancho Notorious, 1952, Johnny Guitar, 1954, and The Last Sunset in 1961. To really get a, if you really are interested about representation and see how these tropes have been developing in Hollywood and the way that our people have been portrayed for so long, watch some of these Westerns because they are, I mean, I hate to say it, some of them are a little entertaining, but it's really, really an interesting exercise. But anyway, oh, by the way, shout out also to the University of Chicago, Doc Films, DOC Films. This is a student-run organization, and it's open to the public. It's $7 a movie. It's pretty much every day, and they have different cycles. And we just proposed, for example, a cycle on Mexican film noir. So cross your fingers. If it goes through, I will promote the fuck out of it because I'm really excited to see all this Mexican film noir hopefully being shown here in Chicago. It's Mexican film noir has been shown in Berkeley, has shown in the Museum of Modern Art in New York, but never in Chicago. So I'm excited. I'm excited about hopefully being able to show this. But again, if you're here in Chicago, it's Duck Films, and you can just go. You can buy a pass for $40, and you can watch as many movies as you want. And the programs are amazing. So shout out to everybody, Duck Films. But I'm going to stop right here. I know it's a lot of information. I talk a lot. But I really want to give the biggest shout out to Pat. Pat is our dear friend from the Colores Collective. If you don't know who the Colores Collective is, Google it, loca. They are making amazing waves and moves in Dallas. They are organizing events surrounding Selena. I'm sure you've seen it in Instagram. You've seen it in other venues. And Pat is like me. She is a music nerd. So she came to Chicago and she stayed with us and we sat down. We had a couple of, no se llaman margaritas, pero micheladas. We had a couple of micheladas. And I'm going to be honest, we're a little messy, but I had so much fun. And I had to share this interview. There's a lot of bands that we talked about. So saquen la pluma, saquen el papel para que apunten. She brings amazing ideas. Not ideas, but she brings amazing bands that you all should be listening to. So again, thank you, Pat, for this interview. I hope you like it. And after the interview, no se vayan, that I have some recommendations, but also I want to tell you about a couple of amazing events. One live event of Latinos Who Lunch in Las Vegas, and then another live event in Houston. So stick around. No se vayan. Toodaloo, 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 toodaloo. So have you ever been at a place where you're like, this is just going to be a regular week, and then you realize that one of your favorite podcast celebrities is going to go stay in your house, and you're like, what the French toast? So it is for that reason that I couldn't desperdiciar la oportunidad and interview my friend, Pat, from The Colores Radio. What's up?
The indie music nerds are here together.
Falta la Richardina.
I know, and then we would be all bonding together about all our little favorite albums.
Right. So let's get into it. What are you doing in Chicago? What's going on? Tell us who you are. All the beautiful stuff.
All the beautiful stuff. Okay, so I am here visiting on my first time to Chicago. I mean, I figured, why not sit in a negative 0 degree temperature, right, before I'm like in the like summer heat of Dallas in the springtime, because our weather's all weird. But I was like, might as well get cold, right? I'm Pat. I'm from Dallas visiting. I'm part of the Colores Radio and the Colores Collective. As Babelito said, we do our biweekly podcast and we have events and stuff in Dallas and art shows. We're going on our second year in April. Really exciting.
Congratulations. You're basically a mover and shaker.
I try to be.
So what are we drinking? What are we eating? I think after having... Okay, tell everybody then.
So I was like, it's my first night with you guys. I figured I might as well treat y'all to some of my micheladas. So we went to the nearby corner store, got our tajin, our modelo, some sabritones.
Y míranos aquí, sabritones.
Y aquí estamos con los dos micheladas.
What are your favorite Mexican chips?
Oh, man. I really like anything spicy. Any chile lime chips, I'm in. Yeah. Sabritones are really good. When I went to Mexico City in September, I'm trying to think. I usually like bring back chips because I'm like, I don't have these in
Rancheritos,
in
girl.
Rancheritos are really good. Yeah. Me and Eva really like the queso potato chips.
Oh, my God.
Have you tried those?
All of them. You know which ones, too? Have you ever tried pizzerolas?
No.
So they're like, oh, my God. They're like Doritos, but in the round shape, and they taste like cheese pizza.
Oh, my God. I remember. Do you remember the 3D Doritos?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're supposed to be coming back. And I told them, I was like, our dreams are coming true.
So when Fabi was, shout out Fabi, when he was in Puebla making art, he made this tiles made out of paper. And the tiles look very much like the tiles that you see in Puebla, the talavera, the blue and white, that Asian inspired thing. But in the center, it was the different types of Doritos that he found in Puebla.
God.
And I think the 3D was one of them. Mm. Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff.
That is really cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so now that we talked about food, let's talk about music. Bad and I met in Podcasterio Fest almost like 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, that seems almost like it was November 2017, right?
That's so Yes.
Wow.
That's so crazy. That almost seems mythical. Like how we all got together. A lot of us are still doing our thing.
It was a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. I loved being around everyone. It was just like we all became best friends instantly. And we were just all a family. And like I think we all like still support and check on each other. Right. And like that's what I was like. When I realized how long it had been since we met, seen each other, it was Podcasterio.
Podcasterio Fest.
We were just like, what? Because we talk all the time and we connect about like music and movies. Yeah. So I was just like, wait, it's almost been 2 years?
When I saw Richard in Mexico City in the summer, she's like, Pat is so fucking cool. He's like, she's going to come and visit me. Like, he was so, so excited.
It was so much fun. I was so happy to visit him.
It was so cool to meet you guys because it was so beautiful because we connected with all the Texas people right away. Cabronas y chingonas, yes. You guys and us form a bond that is still present. Like, to this day.
And Eric también.
Yes, yes, yes. Like, to this date, I listen to you guys and Cabronas y Chingonas the most out of all the podcasts and Song Mess as well.
Same.
Yes, Eric.
It sounds like we're all a little family. I listen to all. That's like how I find out how all my friends are doing. If we like don't keep in touch as often, it's like you hear the podcast and you're like, I know what you're doing.
But girl, that's a double-edged sword. I'm going to tell you why. Because I have a lot of friends and they're like, oh, I haven't called you in like 3 months because I listened to your podcast.
So they just listen and they assume you're okay?
Yeah, they're like, oh, so I know what's going on with you. Oh, I'm like,
but you're
no,
like,
girl.
No. That's what Eva has talked about recently on The Colores is a lot of times people see this like facade of like what they see on our social media. So they're like, oh, they're doing fine. They're happy. And Eva's like, no, like we could be like having a hard time suffering like with our mental health and like right. People just see our like social media accounts or see us on The Colores and are assuming we're doing just fine.
Right.
But no, like
heavy meltdowns in the background before they start like recording. Right. That's real. So how do you like Chicago so far?
It's going really well. You know, it's cold, but it's I don't mind cold. It. I mean, you saw me thaw out my face for a little while, but...
Oh, my God. So we went to go get beer, and it was 2 blocks, so, like, the walk was 4 minutes each way. And then, I don't know, I'm so used to it that I'm just like, I'm going to suffer. Like, that's just my fucking destiny, right? And I didn't think about it. So when you get here, you're, like, stretching your mouth, los cachetes, y te
I'm,
los
like, putting
tocabas.
My hands on my cheeks.
And I'm just like, oh, that's right. It's, like... 4 degrees outside and it feels like minus 12 or something like that.
Pues también like walking around through the grocery stores in the neighborhood, I was just like, wow, I can't feel my hands anymore. This is it. I had guantes on y todo and I was still just like, oh, okay, that's cool. Like I can't feel my face or anything. No big deal.
Just FYI, this is an impromptu interview, so you're gonna hear the train, you're gonna hear my husband developing some fucking film and the air, but I mean, I had to do this.
Yes, I'm so happy that you decided to do this.
Pat and I bonded because of music.
Yes.
And we were in the car and we were listening to Juan Wouters.
Juan Gualter's album, it's just so good. But I'm like, no, let's play something more upbeat. So I play Rosalía because I am still obsessed.
It's a great album. How can you not be?
And then I was like, have you seen the video? Have you seen the video about Malamente? And she's like, no, I haven't. I'm like, girl, allow me. And we're only 10 minutes.
And here we are.
But like, every 2 minutes we stop. I'm like, have you heard this song? Have you heard this producer? Have you seen this? Oh, have you seen this? So I'm just like, fuck it. Let's just record and talk about music. So you and I have a lot of things in common. Like, you and I think, grew up, or in our 20s, we're into the same type of indie rock.
Yes, for sure.
What? I don't know where we're talking. Oh, yeah.
The Rapture.
Yes. My favorite wedding band.
I'm ready to, like, let's just get, some wedding so they can crash it. And they can
right.
play.
So what are some of your, let's go through periods in your music. Life. Because if you're like me, you have gone through periods of music. So
I
from
have.
1 to 10, what were your jams?
1 through 10, my jams. I mean, I went through some weird phases. Like, me and Eva were talking about how I listened to a lot of pop music in, like, middle school, which, like, now I'm like, LOL, I was obsessed with Britney Spears and Backstreet Boys, like, in middle school. And then as I got older, I started listening to, like, Blood Brothers and the Mars Volta. You know the Blood Brothers?
I went to see them like 3 times.
Oh my god, I'm so jealous.
One time we went to see the Blood Brothers, and this girl started fighting in the middle of like the mosh pit. The girl was just like shaking her head and dancing, and she got close to the other girl, grabbed the girl by the hair and kept dancing.
Y
le estaba jalando las greñas. I remember looking at my friend. I'm like, this is the most beautiful fight. There was nothing erotic about it.
Y no se estaba jalando y le dejó la jalada el pelo.
Pero la morra estaba bailando y jalándole los pelos. So she was going like this.
Oh my god.
And then ya se empezaron a dar de madrazos, but I was like, and I never listened to the Blood Brothers, but I love to go see them. Because their shows were incredible. That was
I would have loved to see them.
Okay, so emo, Blood Brothers, what else?
I listened to At the Drive-In, the Mars Volta.
Texas, you had to.
I had to. Like, that was, like, Chicano representation and, like, the... Because that was me, like, listening to Deftones, too. Like, anytime I saw any, like, Chicano artists doing any form of rock or anything, I was like, I gotta get into this.
Yeah.
I listened to a lot of that. Block Party. I was a big Block Party fan.
Yes. Oh, my God, Block Party. I saw them for the first time in 2005 in Coachella. It was one of those, like, up-and-coming bands.
Oh, my God.
Fast forward a year, because back in the day when there was no internet. Because
that was when Silent Alarm came out, no?
Right. So when there was no social media, I'm sorry. They will play Coachella, they become a success after that, and then they come back the following year to the big stage. So that's what happened. I saw them in a tent, and then they came back the following year and they play one of the main stages, and I was like, they're too popular, I'm gonna go see the bands in the little tent.
You're like, I would do stick to the little tents only. I saw them in 2007 or 2008, ¿cómo se llaman? Little Dragon opened for them.
Oh my god.
That's the only time I've seen Little Dragon.
Really?
And they opened for Block Party. And I remember I went and talked to the lead singer after their set, and I was like, y'all were so good. And now they're like huge. And when they played in Dallas, they played in a big venue that I was like, I don't have that money to pay like $60 for y'all's ticket.
College radio fucks everything up.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, wait, but te estás adelantando, güey. De 1 a 10, okay, Blood Brothers. De los 10 a los 15, what were you listening to?
I guess that was like this, like the 10, the 15, I was listening to all that stuff. See, I jumped all over the place.
You did. So
I
the,
did.
The 1 to, was, so 1 the to 1 10 to, is
1 to
pop.
10. 1 to 10, it was like pop. A lot of pop that I was listening to. It wasn't until, because, you know, even when I was at that age range, MTV was like my blessing in a way, because that's how I also started listening to Radiohead and Pixies videos.
I never listened
because they didn't play it on the radio. And then I had older sisters, so it was like whatever they were playing. So I was still listening to a lot of like R&B and hip hop. So it wasn't until high school where I had access to like make my own mix CDs.
Right.
And like my friends would be like, hey, I made you a playlist CD. And then
that's my friend.
Got exposed to everything else.
Shout out to Jorge Pastor. He's been here on the podcast and he lives in Austin. He used to curate me CDs. He goes, listen to this. Listen
I still have this. Some of those CDs in high school.
I have them in my room. I have them in my room, girl. Like I still... And I when I first got Spotify, that was what I did. Like, I went through all the CDs and started making playlists of all that shit. Okay, So 15 to 20, I'm assuming that's when you started getting into indie pretty heavily.
Yeah, my indie, my Strokes. Yes. I still need to see them live. I was so sad. I've never seen Karen O, like literally the inspiration for who I am as a human. Like,
so when,
I've not seen her yet. Fry Papita and I tried to get tickets because they were having a show in Austin with like a screening for their documentary. And we're like texting each other and literally... tickets went on sale, and I'm not even kidding you, 2 minutes, they were sold out. And I was like, man, all these people are fake. Y'all ain't even real Yes fan. I've been listening to them for more than half my life.
You know when I heard them for the first time was in a hotel in Guanajuato. Me comí unos sopes tan grasosos que me dieron una pinche diarrea, so I couldn't leave the hotel. So I was just, by the way.
Watching the Maps video?
Yeah, so I watched that video, and I was like, who the fuck are these people? So two events changed my life. One of them was my first Coachella, but the first one was seeing the White Stripes live. Because I was a housewife by then. I was doing my thing. I was young, but I was really committed, whatever. Mm-hmm. Then I heard of this band that sounds like rock. And I was into rock en español. Mm-hmm. I rejected anything that wasn't rock en español. And then I heard the White Stripes. And I was like, what the fuck is this? This is awesome. I went to go see them. And I realized there's a whole movement happening. And I had no idea. So the White Stripes were my entry into Yeah Yeah Yes, into Kings of Leon.
When oh, they were yeah. I good. Liked old Kings of Leon, Spiral Staircase.
Oh, my. Spiral Staircase going down. So, okay, true story, I saw Kings of Leon open for The Strokes in the New Year's Eve show in Vegas in 2004, going
That's
to 2005.
Wild. That was probably awesome. That was probably a good time to see both of them.
Oh, my God.
Because now that I see Julian Casablancas, I'm like, you're such a dick. I don't. It makes me so sad because The Strokes meant so much to me in my youth.
I know, The Strokes were amazing.
And I'm just like, Julian, you really like this asshole now.
Julian Casablanca? I know.
I had to go see, ¿cómo se llama?
Oh, Hammond or what? ¿Cómo se llama? Mm-hmm.
I had to see him because I was like, you're the one that I can admire. You
and also the ¿cómo se llama? The Kings of Leon. Because esos cabrones son racistas como su puta madre. If you see... What is the drink that the white supremacy, ¿cómo se llama?, identifies with? It's milk. In the last album, like, all of their faces are coming out of milk. And the dad of the singer has ties to the KKK.
Hell, I didn't know any of that. I haven't listened to them since, like, 2008.
Because they stopped being good a long time ago. Okay, so... Ya nos salteamos, güey.
Let me just go. Off the rail, we're, like, talking about everything.
So, 20 to 25.
20 to 25. Let's see. What was I listening to a lot? Radiohead still means so much to me. In Rainbows is still like that song. That album is still one of my favorite, like, top five albums of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine is Amnesiac.
That's such a good one too. Mm-hmm. OK Computer was like my favorite in high school, and then In Rainbows came out, and I was just like, wow.
I'm in the middle I was of like, your picture. Oh, it's so good.
House of Cards.
Yes.
Oh, and yeah, I listened to The Rapture a lot in my early 20s. Neon Blonde. Did you know Neon Blonde? That was one of the members of Blood Brothers, I think.
No, I don't think I saw them.
War Paint. I liked a lot of early War Paint.
Early War Paint was good.
They were really
Elephant
good.
Elephant is my jam still. Like, I listen to that song all
They're
the time.
They're so good.
The thing is that my music life, for example, was shaped on Coachella. So, like... those bands wouldn't play in Vegas. Mm-hmm. So I would have to wait a year to see Coachella lineup. And from 2004 to 2010, Coachella was the shit. Mm-hmm. Like, they had really fucking badass bands. So I saw all the legends, and then I saw the little bands. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I know years because of that. So I'm like, oh, in 2007, I was listening to a lot of this. Like,
yeah.
2007, Bjork. The Volta, like, that was my jam. Oh, yeah. But I remember because she was headlining, so I was obsessed. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I saw Bjork and things like that. Okay, 25 to 30. So to now.
Let's see. 25 to 30. So I'm thinking of me when I moved back to Dallas. Because, see, the early 20s was in Austin. So that's how I was getting a lot of stuff.
Because Austin is an incredible...
That's why I was like, luckily I'd have South By, so I'd go see a bunch of stuff. So my mid to late... So, like, my late 20s to 30, I was listening... What am I listening to a lot of? I started listening to more R&B. I love the internet. The internet's really good. Yeah, Kay Trinata, I'm obsessed with.
He's such a good.
Like, really I good. Like went to Afropunk to see Kay Trinata and Solange. Javier Amena.
So, I'm a little drunk.
Sorry, micheladas.
I'm not gonna lie. So we were recording, and I dropped the beer on my computer.
But it's alive. It's fine.
Tragedistly. So I was like, fuck.
We soaked it up with the sabritones. No,
entre los sabritones y la michelada, we fucked it up. So we were talking about live music. Let's not recap because la gente se va a aburrir. So it was in your late 20s when you started to listen to Latinx music.
More so, yes.
Yes.
What? And I also think highly Richard Tina because Song Mess opened my eyes. Because I was listening to a lot, some like, we did have like TV stations that played on Saturdays, like my music videos, and I'd get my Café Tacuba fix or Bajo Fondo or something of that sort.
Right.
And Molotov.
Wait, Bajo Fondo was like como de tango, no?
But that's what I'm saying, that in general, like Spanish music, I didn't listen to anything. Mm-hmm. Besides that, so then once I was listening to Song Mess, I was like, whoa, there's a whole other world.
That's what happened to me.
I was like, thank you, Beverly and Richard.
So I started with Club Fonograma. I don't know if you remember that page. So that blog introduced me to Chilean pop. The first time I listened to Javier Amena, I'm like, this is like Daniela Romo. Mm-hmm. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And then it was Denver. Los Bikers.
Oh, I love them.
That was that shook me. Like that shook my world. I'm like, there's a world of music happening. So I was really intrigued. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, grad school, Guaraguara la Cuchara y la Chingada, I stopped. And then I gave up. To be honest, I gave up. And then I listened to Song Mess. And they just opened this new world.
They really have opened my eyes. And now, like, I'm not even kidding. Since last year, Richard took me to Song Mess, and all we saw was, like, Latin artists.
Right.
And after that, I was like, that's all I want to go see in South By now.
In South By, yeah.
That's all I've got, like...
So you guys saw Lido Pimienta twice, no?
He got to see her twice. Uh-huh. I saw her once. He was like, who do you want to see while we're there? And I was like, if I just see Lido Pimienta...
That's it.
I'm set.
Oh, my
First
God.
Night we got there... She played, and I got to talk to her, and I kept running into. We kept running into her at every like party we were at, and I was just like, changed my life seeing you live finally.
So amazing! So you saw Lido Pimienta. Who else?
And I got to see Balloon, but I didn't get to see them actually play. So I'm really excited to finally see Balloon this go around. And then Maria Jose is gonna be there this time, I can't. Like, I was like.
I thought they were gone.
He was gone. Tony wasn't doing anything with Maria Jose for a while. And then, boom, he, like, came back and started releasing some new music. And
just so you know, doing the links for this episode is going to suck. Because there's so many of them. Okay, Maria Jose, Lido Pimienta, Balloon, Denver. There's just so much.
Denver, yeah.
And the cool thing about it is that you can choose an area. That's one of the things I learned about Song Mess. This is going to be Song Mess love episode.
For sure.
Then she's like, oh, let's talk about Central America. And like, there's like all this movement. Let's talk about Tijuana. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about Chihuahua.
Chihuahua, so Monterrey. Crazy. Everybody's Monterrey. Like coming through with the music. And like a lot of, like, I'm just like, whoa. Clubs, do you listen to Clubs? They're really good. I love them.
I just want to see Los Walters.
Oh, man. I can't wait to see them one day.
Beautiful, beautiful. But so in relationship to music, what do you do? Because as we were recording, because this is a little bit of a mess of recording, but it's all right. As we were recording, Pat is like, ooh, I just got somebody into a show in South By. I'm just like, what? So tell me...
Side hustler.
Yes. Tell me tell me your main job and side hustles.
So my main job is I work in a library, my 9-to-5. Shout out to Cabronas y Chingonas because they call me Library Bay.
Yay.
So that's my job that I do. That's my paying gig. Then I have the Colores that I have with my sister and Rafa.
Right.
And then I interned... with like marketing and booking for shows in Dallas and Austin. So that kind of put my in on like finding out how the like booking industry worked and like how music and all this stuff works. So a lot of times is like, I'm always wanting to promote and help any local bands. It's things I just like doing just because I'm passionate about music and I like to help people out. So, like my friends Luna Luna are playing at South By this year. So I'm like, when y'all are there, I'm going to try and connect other people there too.
That's beautiful.
And when I went to LA, like I'm like talking to people, be like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. So like Gatsu also from LA is actually playing in Fort Worth and they're playing at South By too. And they're going to have a show with Luna Luna. So it's just like when they have little conversations with people, I like whisper in their ear, hey, check these people out or do this. So I definitely try to help all the local bands and stuff in Dallas. And like anybody that I meet that I know is like working on their music and like I love and support their work, I try to find any way to help them. Mm-hmm. So one of my friends here, just shout out to DJ Chava, is going to South By to DJ for Tatiana Hazel. And they wanted to do more shows while they were there, some like DJ sets. And I was like, Peligrosa House, that's like the Latin party during South By.
In Dallas?
In Austin.
In Austin.
So they do monthly events there. And I was like, ooh, that's probably a perfect spot for her to go DJ because she plays reggaeton, perreo, like everything.
Todo hip-hop, show.
Todo. So luckily, Rafa knows a lot of the DJs and stuff within that group because he's part of a DJ crew in Dallas, Faded DJs. And he was like, here's like some people you can connect to. Send out an email. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, they got their like a show now at South By. But I mean, obviously, I'm very passionate about music. You know that. I talk to you about all these things that I'm constantly doing. So I always try to help in any way I can. Because, I mean, I like to share the wealth with anybody, and I want people to have just as much fun as I am.
Have you ever thought about doing this full-time, like do like music promotion, or it's just like you just love it as a hobby, you don't want to pursue it?
I mean, I think about it. I've had some friends of mine that are like, hey, can you help us book shows? And I'm like, it sounds really dope. I love the concept and the idea of it, and I'm sure I can make it happen, but I'm also like, I still need to pay bills. Right. So like right now, I still try and help in any way I can. Mm-hmm. But maybe down the road, or maybe like a lot as we start a little festival or start booking bands or something.
Girl, if you start, let me, déjame meter mi cuchara, güey. Porque every time
Podcasterio makes a music festival.
Right, like every time there's a music festival, I'm like, this band is promoting, they're touring, and they're not part of the lineup. Mm-hmm. Like, just by going online, I could like make my own makeup belief. Emma and I do this all the time. It's like, what when we do our Los Tocayos Fest, mm-hmm. who are we going to have
Tocayos
played?
Tocayos Fest, yes.
So, I don't know. Okay, this is a good question. So, 10 bands, dream lineup, go.
Shit. Javier Mena will be in there for sure.
But I mean, when I say dream lineup, I mean like you have millions. You have Coachella money.
I have Coachella
you
money.
You have Coachella money.
Javier Mena for sure. Yeah, yeah, yes.
Javier, wow. Okay. I already have tickets.
You already have tickets. I'd want to see Solange again.
Solange, yeah. Oh my God, that album.
Rosalía.
Bitch, stop.
So I just want to cry.
Yeah.
I want to cry, but I also want to dance.
Okay, so Rosalía, Solange,
Bad Bunny, El Bad Conejo Bunny. Malo, we had to bring him through.
Javier Mena, you have five more.
Five more, shit. Balloon.
Ay, a huevo.
They have to be there. They're going to warm up everybody, the crowd, for the whole night. I want to get New Order in there if New Order could come through.
Really? I saw New Order in 2006.
I love New Order. Mm-hmm. I want to see Yeji. I love Yeji.
I don't know who that is.
I'm going to get you on Yeji.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I need new music. I'm stuck with Juan Wouters.
Yeji's a Korean-American producer / DJ. I think she's based in New York.
And she's amazing.
She's amazing. Like her DJ sets... Her and Kate Renata are doing Este Ceremonia, and Rosalia's playing there too. And I was just like, I told Richard, Ceremonia. I was like so tempted to go. I was like, am I about to go back to Mexico City? I know it's only been less than a year, but
it's
in April, so I don't think I'm going to be able to because we got our anniversary at that time. Who else? I got what, seven?
Yes. Te falta.
Interpol.
What?
I'm a huge Interpol fan.
Still?
I love Interpol.
I gave up on them so long
really?
Ago. Like, I go, like, if they're in a festival, I see them. Because it's just like, I gotta listen to Stella. Stella! But I just haven't followed them.
I love them.
Are they still
I mean,
good?
Like, they released a new album last year. I will admit, it wasn't, like, amazing. Mm-hmm. But it still, like, was, like, my
so
heart.
Interpol are your Café Tacuba.
Mm-hmm, probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Café Tacuba, but I'm not. I don't stand them as hard as you do.
Nobody does.
Facts.
Okay, ocho. Te faltan dos.
Denver. Denver would probably be
pero
one.
Pero ya se murieron. Mm-hmm. I mean, not se murieron. They broke up.
I know. They broke up. Mm-hmm. I'd probably bring María José.
One more.
Let's see. Who's my
millions
last?
Of dollars, girl. Shit. Millions.
Can I say Stevie Wonder?
Oh, my God. Have you seen him live?
No.
Bitch. It's so amazing. I saw him twice.
Or even Janelle Monáe. I would probably melt
if I saw Janelle Monáe. Yeah, Janelle Monáe is also amazing. I saw her when she was starting, when she was touring with Of Montreal.
Oh, snap.
She was She opened up for a whole tour.
I would have just gone to see her. I would have been like, that's it.
Yeah, Of Montreal are trash now. But when he was producing her albums, like, they were cool. Not anymore.
Okay, take backs, because I have one more. Can I give an extra
okay,
band?
it's like surprise.
This is my surprise show. Uh-huh. NERD. I'm a huge NERD fan.
Nerd?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I stand, so Pharrell has some problematic moments.
No, but he's a hell of a musician.
But he's a hell of a musician and producer. He, like, pretty much made my teenage years.
So, pregúntame a mí.
De qué?
Of my top.
Who's your top 10?
So, like,
for your fest, or for the Tocayo Fest?
This
is your own fest.
Tocayo Fest is the whole thing. I will have Café Tacuba on the first. I will have Café Tacuba second, playing Re. I will have Tacuba playing the first part of the Revés album. Café Tacuba playing the second part of the Revés album. Café Tacuba playing Avalancha de Éxitos. Café Tacuba playing El Objeto ya antes llamado Disco. Café Tacuba playing the first album. And then Café Tacuba doing a DJ set with a remix of all the songs.
Oh my God.
And Café Tacuba doing the new song. And Café Tacuba doing Re again. Those are my, what is it? Let's just say it's 10 bands. So my festival is Café Tacuba.
So we're having a Café Tacuba fest, essentially.
Café Tacuba is like, ¿cómo se llaman estos güeyes? Like fish. You know how they do 3-day festivals? And people are just getting high as fuck? Yeah. That's my dream.
That's your dream?
That's my dream.
I would go with you. I'd be down.
So, Café Tacuba Ella. That's the name of my...
Café Tacabella.
Lola Tacuba.
I like that one. Lola Tacuba.
Oh my God. So, okay. So, we're going to stop right here. I want to thank you. I have to stitch 2 audios, and I've never done it before.
And we got to put our little slideshows for our presentation for our festivals together. Right.
Like, I'm going to convince people, like, this is Café Tacuba Lela.
who wants to book this?
I know putting these audios are going to be crazy, and then Fabi's going to hear this audio, and he's going to be like, no, this is too bad, but I'm going to push it, girl.
I love
and
you,
this
Fabi.
Is going to come out.
We love you.
Fabi, we love you.
I'm sorry, we got drunk.
Oh, no, before we go, give me your top Chicago bands.
Top Chicago bands. Dang. Let's see. I love Tatiana Hazel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Lester's really cool. I just started getting into him. Lester Ray.
We just had him in the podcast as well.
He was really great.
Really cool stuff.
Let me see. Damn, why am I blanking on Chicago artists?
Have you heard Dos Santos?
Dos Santos is good. I saw them at a Peligrosa during South By.
Nice.
And then we saw them play a little bit in Dallas. I'm trying to think of other Chicago artists. Wow.
You got to listen to our Lester episode. He recommended some really badass Chicago music. Yeah? And Song Mesa has a whole entire episode just on Chicago.
They did. I forgot. Damn, I'm really blanking on Chicago. Damn, I'm letting y'all down. I'm sorry.
That's
all right. Esas micheladas, ya no puedo pensar.
No mames, güey, qué desorden, qué desorden. Anyway, so this is a good point to stop. Thank you, Pat, for staying with us. Thank you, Pat, for deciding to stay with us here at Pilsen.
No, thank you for hosting me.
And I told Pat, I said, this is a crazy week. By the way, like, she came and saw my lecture on Virgen de Guadalupe.
Yo, I've been telling you I've been wanting to see one of your classes, or I wanted to go to a museum with you.
I wish I could have the time to take you to the Art Institute of Chicago, because you will hear me bitch about a lot of
everything.
Things, but also be like, oh my God, I love this minimalist shit. But there's no time. But next time when you come here for more days.
Yes.
But again, thank you. And hopefully, I want to go to Dallas.
Yes,
I want to record with the Colores.
Yes, we would love to have
Eva,
you.
Eva, Rafa.
We love
guys,
you.
Guys, I love you guys so much. And, like, I rely on you to get my news, because I gave up on reading news. So through my husband and through you guys, I get my fix. Because you have to go through it, read the bad shit, and then you just give me the cool
stuff.
Yeah,
Eva reads everyone to filth on there a lot of times.
It's so good.
Call everyone out.
But my favorite parts of the show... Wow. Is when I can hear your voice in the background.
The Who You Got segments.
Yes, I love it. Anyway, so this has been everything for now. Apologies for the side noises. Apologies for la cerveza. But no apologies. This was excellent. Thank you for geeking out with me.
Thank you for having me.
Chao, chao, chao.
Bye.
¿Qué les dije? Oh, thank you again, Pat. This was an amazing interview. I laughed so much. You know, the editing behind this episode was serious, because at some point my husband came in. He was like developing film in the back. Y luego el tren, y luego el gato, y guara guara la cuchara. But I think I put a good cohesive interview together. But as I promise, besides all the shout outs to all these amazing musicians that we talked about here in the interview with Pat, I have a couple of more recommendations, but first I want to tell you a little bit about a live event. That is right. So Fabi and I are finally getting together. I say finally, but we're always doing these events in other places. We're actually having a live event, a live podcast at UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. This is going to take place at the Major Barrick Museum of Art, and it's going to take place on June 5th. Of this year, of course. This is from 5:30 to 7 p.m. And we're going to have an interview. We're going to be joined by Dr. Erica Abad. If you haven't heard our interview with Dr. Erica Abad, Google it. We talked about all kinds of things, more specifically on popular media and Latinx representation. So you be sure that we're going to get into it. We're going to get into all these conversations about Latinx representation. Again, this is going to take place on June 5th, 5:30 to 7 p.m. This is at the Marjory Barrick Museum of Art. If you're planning to go, do your Googles, because parking can be a little bit tricky, but it's a free event. We can hang out. You guys can come and see us doing our thing. Again, Latinos Who Lunch live podcast at the Marjory Barrick Museum, June 5th, 5:30 to 7 p.m. And this, of course, is part of the exhibition that Justin Favela and Ramiro Gomez have over there. So this is a great opportunity to see Favi's art, also Ramiro's art. Again, the name of the exhibition is Sorry for the Mess, also inside of the Barrick Museum. And the exhibition runs through August 3rd of this year. So go see some badass art. Go listen to us complain about Latinx representation, and you'll have a good old time. But I have one more plug before I go. Besides that, you guys know that Favi, again, is an international art superstar. And he's going to have a live podcast. It's not going to be with Latinos Who Lunch, but it's part of the Art People podcast. This live podcast is going to take place on Friday, May 31st. Oh, shit, that's tomorrow. That's right. So that's tomorrow from 12 to 1 p.m. Again, a live podcast interview with Justin Favela and Chef Alex Padilla. And this is part of Houston Center for Contemporary Craft exhibition, All You Can Eat. And this is a solo exhibition. This is how badass Favi is, that he's having solo exhibitions all over the place. Again, this is going to take place at the Houston Center for Contemporary Craft. So if you're in Houston, if you're in Texas, get your shit together. Salgan corriendo para que vayan a ver al Favi. As part of his Art People podcast, he's going to have an interview with Chef Alex Padilla. And this is part of his solo exhibition, which is called All You Can Eat. So if you're in Nevada, you can come and see us. If you're in Texas, you can go see Favi. And in both places, you can have an awesome experience with the type of art that he is creating. So again, one of the reasons why I'm also putting this by myself, because Favi is a very, very important person. And I decided to take over this week. But soon you're going to hear us both together. And finally, I wanted to talk. I haven't given music recommendation for a while, and this band or this producer, his name is Chancha Villa Circuito, and Chancha Villa Circuito has been around for a while. He has a couple of albums, and this is an Argentinian producer, but he is one of the pioneers of this electronic cumbia that it's now part of every Latinx club or like just any playlist that you can think of. He's been making electronic music since 2005. He has approximately, I think, 4 albums. And last year, his album Bienaventuranza came out. I think it was around the spring. Great reviews. He was featured in NPR. And this year, he is extending the awesomeness that is Bienaventuranza. And he is releasing the remixes. And I just listened to this before I actually started recording. And they're so, so beautiful. My favorite song, Ilalo. And there's actually a remix of that in this album. Again, this is Bienaventuranza Remixes. This is by Chancha Via Circuito, a new album. And this will put you, wait, se van a poner a cocinar, a bailar, a coger, lo que les guste. Again, Chancha Via Circuito, Bienaventuranza Remixes. No se lo pierdan. And I think that's it. Fuck, I had this list and I have all these things that I wanted to talk to you, but I feel like I said most of it in the intro. Again, Pat from the Colores Collective. If you don't know who the Colores Collective is, please listen to their podcast, the Colores Radio. Check on all the events that they're doing in the Texas area, in the Dallas area. And again, don't forget to come and see us in Vegas on June 5th and also Favi tomorrow in Houston. Thank you very much. Thank you for your patience. Listener letters are coming. Wadawadas are coming, and more amazing things are coming from Latinos Who Lunch. So thank you to everybody. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you later. Ciao, ciao, ciao.